you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Beginning in verse 45, this is God's word. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After he said goodbye to them, he went away to the mountain to pray. Well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Very early in the morning, he came toward them, walking on the sea, and wanted to pass by them. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke with them and said, "Have courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you look back earlier in this chapter, the Bible says that things were so busy with ministry that the people didn't even have time to eat. That is, the disciples did not. They were doing ministry, and they were so busy in doing ministry that they didn't have time to eat. And so, Jesus had told them, "We need to go away, get to a quiet place." And that was back in verse 30 and following. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while." For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So that's what was happening. And they go to get some rest, and how did that turn out? There was a crowd waiting for them when they got to the land. And so Jesus, again, continued to minister to meet the needs of the people. And after he had done that for a while, the disciples are saying, "Okay, can we now send these folks away?" And Jesus says, "No, they need to be fed. You give them something to eat." Now, Jesus worked a miracle there that was absolutely astounding. But no matter how great the miracle, I guarantee you the disciples who were tired before the sermon started were very tired after they had finished distributing food to 5,000 men plus women and children, and then going around and taking up a basket full of bread each. So it's been a long, long day. And now Jesus makes them get into the boat and commands them to go to the other side, to Bethsaida. The word that's used there in the Greek is basically that he compelled them. It's rightly translated, he made them get in the boat and go to the other side. This was not something he suggested. It was not something he permitted. It was something he demanded. He made them get in the boat and go to the other side. Middle of the night, they still haven't made it to the other side. The middle of the night, they are in the middle of the sea. And they are straining against the oars. And they can't see Jesus, but he can see them. Let me suggest to you, first of all, if you're making some notes, that even when you can't see Jesus, he can see you. Even when you feel like it's all darkness, he can see you. He knows what's going on in your life. Now, these disciples Several of them were commercial fishermen. They had grown up working this lake. And I have no doubt that they, the wind being against them in the middle of the lake, they probably had some sense that it was not a good time to cross the lake when Jesus made them get in the boat and do it. They might have tried to suggest that we not do that. Let's try and go to Bethsaida right now. We'll just stay here with you, Jesus. Jesus says, no, you get in the boat and you go to the other side. So they are trying to do what Jesus commanded. And the wind is against them. And the waves are pounding the boat. This is not a happy situation. And let me tell you, if you walk with God a long time, you will have times like this. When you are trying to do what the Lord told you to do, and you just feel like you're not making any headway. The wind is against you, and your boat is being beaten up by the waves. And you ask yourself, what are we doing here? Why are we out here? Whose idea was this? Some of you who have walked with the Lord a while know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like, I didn't plan this. I didn't ask for this. I didn't want to go to Bethsaida tonight. I said, let's stay over here. I said, we'll stay with you, Jesus. You want some time to pray? We're all for that. You pray, we'll sleep. You know, that's the way they worked it out in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, Jesus, we will not disturb you at all. You can have a time of quiet devotions. You can pray all night if you want. Just don't make us get in the boat and try and get to the other side because the wind is coming this way. I was talking yesterday at lunch at our church with some folks who their job is to take the people who stay at a beautiful, fabulous resort near here on adventures. So they take them hiking in the Smokies and they take them fly fishing and they take them biking. And a group of older folks recently wanted to go canoeing out on Tellico Lake. And so the lady who organized it said, I checked the weather report and it said the wind might be about 10 to 12 miles an hour. She said, I always adjust up because you got to be prepared. And she said, I wasn't sure we really wanted to make this trip. But they were sure. And so we said, okay, we'll take them. I mean, the customer's always right. So here we go. She said, I had to just tie my kayak onto the back of one of the canoes. Because normally, see, you'd let them canoe and you would kayak along and make sure that everything's okay. You're kind of running around making sure you're the scout, making sure everything's good, going to another canoe in your kayak and saying, how are you all doing? Everybody good? Everybody happy? And you go to another one and you ask them, because these older folks like me are going along more slowly than you might go. Well, she had to be in one of the canoes with the folks. Because on the way there, riding in the van, they're all talking about their bad backs, bad elbows. You know, they've all got these health problems. They're going to make it tough for them to navigate out there on the lake. She said, we got on the lake and it was wonderful because we had a tailwind. And I was thinking, this is not going to be good coming back. Because if you start in this direction and the wind is at your back and you have to turn around and come back, you're going to be against the wind. She said, coming back, the canoes were coming up out of the water. It was so choppy. And she said, and I was just praying. She said, some of them looked like they might go over. And she said, I thought they're going to be miserable. But she said, everybody ended up saying they had a good time. These guys were not having a good time. The wind was against them. I've been in a canoe when the wind was against me, and it was a comedy because the whole dining hall at my college could see the pond where I was trying to get across, and I was like a sail. I mean, the thing kept coming up like this and just blowing back. And I'd plop it down and go like this and really, and be blown back. It was horrible. And I almost thought I was going to have to go to the far side and carry the canoe back around. But I didn't, because I'm stubborn that way. And I did pray, and I finally made it back to shore, and then had the joy of going into the dining hall where people had been treated to this comedy act out on the pond. This was no comedy. These guys were straining. They're really trying. They're working hard. And they've been at it all night after a really long day. It is sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. that Jesus comes to meet them. They're exhausted. They're frustrated. They've had it up to here. And where's Jesus? Why did he tell us to do this? How's he going to get to Bethsaida? We're just supposed to hang out till he comes around, catches another boat. I mean, you know, I don't know. Jesus isn't a sailor, you know. So I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. We're just doing what he told us. Doesn't make great sense to us, but we're trying to do what he said to do. And here comes Jesus, walking on the water. And Mark's the only one who tells us that Jesus walked as if he was going to pass by them. Okay? If you don't think Jesus has a sense of humor, you don't read your Bible carefully. Okay? Jesus not only walks toward them on the water, he walks as if he's going to pass right by. Like, how's it going, fellas? He asks them that sometimes after they've been fishing all night and caught nothing. Have you not caught anything? Those are just not the kind of questions that fishermen like to be asked. Okay? How would he be able to tell, by the way, that they hadn't caught any fish? Because the boat is riding high in the water. If they had caught fish, the boat would be riding lower in the water. Okay? So Jesus could look from shore and see they didn't have any fish. This occasion, Jesus had seen them straining at the oars, and he didn't immediately come to them. He came later. And when they saw him, they said, oh, thank God, it's Jesus. Is that what happened? No. They said, it's a ghost! Ah! They screamed. That's what the words mean in the Greek, not that they said, ahoy! They cried out in fear. It's very embarrassing when men do that. All right? Women, you just sort of, you know, that's permitted because you are the fairer sex. But men are supposed to be brave and strong. If there is a sound downstairs in the house, it is the man who should get up and go see what's going on. If something goes wrong with the car, we may not know anything about mechanics, but it is our responsibility to get out, raise the hood, and look. Maybe tap something. These guys screamed. Okay? They were terrified, it says. They were terrified, and they screamed. I'm so happy they tell this on themselves. See? The Bible is so honest about the fact that everybody needs a Savior. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and sometimes we do stupid stuff. And these guys, in the midst of the storm, encounter what can only be explained as a ghost. That's got to be what it is. They all saw it, it says. They saw him, and their conclusion was false. Sometimes we see something or hear something, and we jump to the wrong conclusion. And when that happens, it's embarrassing. But Jesus didn't play it up. He could have. I might have. When they're saying it's a ghost and they're screaming, I might have been tempted to go, ooh. But Jesus didn't do that. Instead, Jesus immediately says to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." You know what Jesus says over and over? You know what runs from Genesis to Revelation over and over and over and over? Hundreds of times God says to his people, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." So write this down. God doesn't put us in scary situations to scare us. God doesn't put us in scary situations to scare us. He's teaching us not to be afraid. He's teaching us not to be afraid. If you follow the Lord, he will put you in scary situations. He will. It's going to happen. He sends his disciples out and he says, "Okay, guys, for this journey, you're not to take along any money or even a change of clothes or any food. You just trust me. Do what I say." That's scary. I'm going on a journey with no provisions. Not even the usual stuff that any sensible person would take. I don't think that's smart, Jesus. We're supposed to cross the sea tonight when we're already tired and the wind is against us. I don't think that's a good plan. Over and over and over, God puts his people in scary situations. But he doesn't put us in scary situations to scare us. Instead, he's teaching us not to be afraid. God led the children of Israel out of Egypt by a path that was designed to look as if they were lost. That's what it says in the text. God said, "I'm going to do this, and those who see will think they are just lost and wandering around. They look like easy prey." And the army of the Egyptians pursued them. And God led them. He didn't just give them instructions. His presence went before them. And he led them right up to the shores of the Red Sea. And here comes the army behind them. So we can't go forward, we can't go back, we're hemmed in on either side. What are we going to do? God says, "It's not what you're going to do, it's what I'm going to do." And God parts the sea. God wasn't teaching the people to fear. He was teaching them not to be afraid. And when God puts you in a situation that might seem to be a scary situation, you need to look to the Lord, who is infinitely greater than whatever you're afraid of. Is it a medical diagnosis? Is it the breakup of a relationship? Is it a financial crisis? What might it be that frightens you? God says to his children, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." So, then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. Mark's leaving out some stuff. I won't tell the whole story, but I will remind you that Mark is leaving out the part about Peter saying, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat and started walking toward Jesus. Because if Jesus tells you to walk on water, guess what you can do? Don't forget it. You can do anything God tells you to do through His power. Can't do it on your own. But when Jesus got in the boat with them, the storm was over. Sometimes there's a storm with Jesus in the boat. On this occasion, Jesus gets in the boat, the storm is over. And right after that, they found themselves on the other side. God doesn't have a hard time with our problems. When you bring your problem to the Lord and you say, you know, this is what's going on, and it's this, and it's this, and it's this, and I just don't know what to do. God doesn't say, wow, I don't know, I'll have to work on that. Give me some time. I don't know what to do. I've never encountered anything like this before. God knows the end from the beginning. And His power is not just great, it is limitless. His wisdom is not just great, it is limitless. He knows everything. He has all power. And He will never forsake His children. That's good to know. So, they were astounded. Completely astounded. Look at verse 52. Because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. What does that mean? I don't understand what that means. They were astounded, that makes sense, because they'd not understood about the loaves. What does the loaves have to do with this? Well, you remember the miracle of the loaves and fish? How did that happen? There is only one explanation. The one who is breaking the bread is God. They still hadn't gotten that. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They were following Him in hopes that He really was the Messiah. Earlier in this gospel, several of them had concluded, this is the Messiah, this is the one we've been waiting for. But they didn't understand that the Messiah wasn't just a great man, wasn't just a promised ruler. The Messiah is God in the flesh. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus wasn't just a really remarkable man who had a really close relationship with God. Jesus is a man. He's fully human. But He's not just a fully human man. He is also fully God. And that's why Jesus would make statements along the way like, before Abraham was, I am. Taking the very name of God and applying it to Himself. That's why when Thomas falls down before Him and says, my Lord and my God, Jesus doesn't say, oh, no, don't say that. I'm not God. Jesus is God. The disciples hadn't understood that yet. They had seen the one miracle, as we said before, that's recorded in all four Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000. And it was 5,000 men plus women and children. He had done that, and they'd been a part of it, and they'd seen it, they'd experienced it, and their hearts were so hard they still didn't get it. They still didn't realize who they were dealing with. Many years ago, there was a famous theologian who lived in Switzerland, and there was a young American seminary student who just idolized this guy, thought he was the greatest theologian ever. And so the seminary student went to Switzerland hoping that maybe he might meet this great theological, famous man. He made it to the city. He got on a boat to go across to the other side where he had heard this man lived. And there was an old man on the boat with him, and he said to him, isn't it true that Karl Barth lives here in this town? And the old man said, yes, that's true. And he said, have you ever seen him? And the man said, yes, I have. He said, really? Have you, like, been up close to him? And the old man said, actually, I gave him a shave this morning. And he said, you're Bart's barber? Who was the old man, children? Bart! But this guy, in the presence of the one he was looking for, mistakes him for the barber. Let me just tell you something. These guys were in the presence of God Almighty. He was in the boat with them. He's multiplied the loaves and the fish in a way that only God could do. And now he comes walking out to meet them on the Sea of Galilee. And they are still trying to figure out, who is this guy? Their hearts were hard. They didn't recognize the God of glory. Jesus is the exact representation of the Father's glory. It's not like he looks kind of like God. He is God. He is God. And they didn't get it. They had not understood about the loaves. It just didn't register. Have you ever had a situation where after the fact you think, oh, how stupid of me? These disciples, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tell us these stories, telling on themselves. They tell us the truth about how slow they were to recognize the truth. And that's good. Because that means if God can use folks like this, God can use folks like this. Hallelujah. I am so grateful that we are saved by God's grace, not by our performance. And if you are seeking to be obedient to the Lord, doing what He's told you to do, and you find yourself in a very dark time, feeling exhausted and frustrated, it doesn't mean you're in the wrong place. God will meet you even when the wind is against you. And even when you can't see Him, He sees you and He cares and He's going to take you to the other side. So don't be afraid and don't give up. Trust and obey. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this true story. Another miracle from Jesus. Thank You for telling us again and again what we need to hear, and that is, do not be afraid. And thank You that the reason we don't have to be afraid is because it's You. You're with us. You're at work. So, Lord, we call on You and ask for Your mercy this day. We want to get to the other side, and we believe that by Your grace, we will. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for saving all who call on Jesus and trust in Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.